Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone. Today is Friday, February the 26th. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we want to welcome you to Attention Talk Radio. Today's topic is the Hunter versus Farmer ADHD theory, and with us in our virtual studio today is Christy McClanahan. Before we get into today's topic, I just want to make a few announcements. Next Friday, March the 5th, we'll be having Dan Pruitt back on. He's been a guest before. We'll be talking about ADHD and comorbid conditions. This will be a fun show. Dan's been a great guest in the past, very insightful, and he's actually going to be talking about some of the things that he's going to be talking about at or presenting at the ADD Coaches Conference in May. And then the following Friday, we're going to have Lynn Rogley back talking about the AD Diva Network, specifically about the network and how to get tapped in. So that should be a very insightful, exciting show. But today's topic is the Hunter versus Farmer theory of ADHD. And Christy McClanahan is with us. Christy is discovered later in life that she's got ADD, embraced her own challenges by passionately educating herself through training at the ADD Coaching Academy. She's recognized nationally as a tireless advocate for ADHD. Armed with training, information, and personal experience, Christy has successfully coached parents and kids one-on-one for more than 7 years. In 2007, she knew the time had come to reach out further to help families. She now combined all of her knowledge, training, and experience to create the brilliant parenting program perfectly suited for today's technology, giving busy families all over America access to her message. Christy's also a talented songwriter who uses her skills to publish songs that speak to families using positive dialogue she uses in her parenting program. Her experience, credentials, and talents pale in comparison to what she brings to each unique parenting situation, that her passion, her inspiration, her empathy, and love. So with that, welcome, Christy.
Hi, Jeff. It's so good to be here.
I appreciate you on the show. And this is going to be a little bit different show than we've done in the past, but very, very exciting, because usually I'm asking questions of our guests, but today is really one about kind of telling your story, because there's a lot of fun stuff and a lot, I think, that we can learn just by you telling your own personal story, because as I had read earlier, you got diagnosed with ADD later in life, right?
Oh, I didn't get diagnosed until I was 36, and I'm 53 now. So, you know, I wasn't like these kids who knew it all their lives. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I was struggling in some areas and very frustrated and had no idea that it was because of ADD.
Well, tell us your story, if you could, about how you found out about it and how you processed it and came to embrace it.
Okay. Well, it is a funny story. The way I found out was my best friend called me one day, and she said, "Christy, I think I know what's wrong with you." And I said, "What? Wrong with me?" And she said, "Yeah, you know, the way you lose things, and you can't keep up with your keys, and you forget appointments." And, boy, I did not like the way this was going at all. And she said, "I think you're ADD." And I said, "What are you?" And she said, "You know, my son is ADD, and the psychiatrist was explaining to me what it was to be ADD, and she said, it just sounded like he was talking about you, and that's all I could think about." She said, "You have attention deficit disorder." And all I heard was deficit and disorder, and I hung up on her. I'm telling you, I've never been so mad in my life, but the minute I hung up, I stood in my kitchen, and I started shaking. I thought, I have a deficit and a disorder, and everybody knows it except me. And I really, it was so frustrating, Jeff, because I thought that I had hidden what was so hard for me, my struggles.
Uh-huh.
And for her to say she thought she knew what was wrong with me, all of a sudden I thought, everybody knows. And I went to bed. I just went to bed and pulled the covers over my head and shook for a couple of days.
Wow.
Because I felt so exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people on the third day I rose again. And I went to the place I always go when I'm trying to figure myself out. I go to the self-help section of the bookstore. And they know me there because I've always been looking for the answers. So thank goodness there were a lot of books that day, and I picked Tom Hartman's book, ADD, A Different Perception. And that was his first book. He's written so many books since that explain even more. But he always talks about his hunter-farmer theory. And I took that into the – it was the very first of the year, you know, January.
Uh-huh.
It was cold. I went into a cafe, and I would devour that whole book.
Uh-huh.
And found out his theory was that we ADD is – we have evolved from the hunters, from the hunter-gathering period, when people used to roam the earth following the food, and they would hunt the animals. And we are perfectly suited – for that type of behavior, because our distractibility helps us to see if we're hunting for one animal and a bigger animal gets in our view, you know, our view.
Yep.
We can change and go after that animal.
Yep.
I mean, also our impulsivity helps us to not think about it. You know, if you thought about it, should I go after that animal?
Yep.
Should I run down this gorge? Should I? You know, if you thought about it, they would have starved.
Yep.
So what helped them survive for thousands of years was this type of brain wiring.
Yep.
So it made me feel good. Hey, I helped the species to survive. You know, my brain wiring helped the species to survive.
Yep.
But about 12,000 years ago, they started having farming, agricultural societies started developing, and that takes completely different skills.
It's like the opposite.
It's the opposite, yes. You can't impulsively go up after something else and leave those plants. They would die.
Yep.
You've got to be in a routine. You plant, you water, you weed, you know. And it was a very efficient way of feeding the masses. You don't have to worry about, are you going to be able to find a herd?
Yep.
You know, the food is there. Well, you have to worry about the weather. But for the most part, you had a little bit more control. And so the farming nations grew very strong. And they started killing off us, the hunters.
Uh-huh.
And so there's not as many hunters now as there are, but there are, we are still there. And we are like the entrepreneurs. We are the creators. We shake things up. A lot of times we're the politicians. We are very important to our society, but we have a different brain wiring. And that is what's so important for people to realize.
And what I love so much about the theory and what you described is this show's all about what's obvious is really a function of what you're paying attention to. And when you think about it, if you pay attention to the traits that would make a good hunter, you know, everything you described, impulsively kind of going, not thinking, just kind of chasing it down in the moment and those types of things, it really makes a lot of sense. You can see how a person with ADD brain would actually be an asset in that type of situation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I'm on the hunt, a project, a new idea, a concept, you know, I am perfectly suited for that because I'm going to hunt it down. I'm going to find out everything I need to find out. I'm very focused.
Yep.
You know, so it was a very good trait, but I had never really used it. I was always pushing that part of me away and trying to fix myself.
Uh-huh.
So I was trying to get organized and trying to be like the farmers.
Yep.
And the farmers, you know, and so I was feeling frustrated all the time. And in this book, when I read about, he was talking about all the successful hunters. I mean, he was talking about Thomas Jefferson, probably a hunter.
Yep.
Edison, probably a hunter.
Yep.
You know, and I started thinking, but why are they so successful and I'm not? I sat in that cafe that day and thought, why are there successful hunters and some that are struggling like me? And I realized it's because they pay attention to what they do well. And I always focus on what's wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
And that was an epiphany for me. And I thought, what if I gave myself permission? It was 1st of January. What if I gave myself permission to just become the best me I can be?
Yep.
And just for 1 year, not concentrate on turning myself around in organization. What would happen? I mean, could I serve the world in that way And it was exciting but scary at the same time because I thought, well, gosh, my house might fall in if I don't focus on what's wrong with me. You know, I might not ever make it to another appointment.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just could be the worst thing. But I thought, but, you know, I've been doing that for 36 years, and it hasn't really helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided it's time. I'm going to. And so I gave myself, and I could only give myself 1 year because I thought it scared me to do that, really. But so I started thinking, okay, what are my strengths? And this is the saddest part, Jeff. I thought, I do know what's wrong with me, but I really have never paid enough attention to what's right with me that I could even write down what was right with me. I could not even think of what my strengths were. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So
it really is.
So I finally came up with two things. I am outgoing and I'm creative. And I thought, what if I became the most outgoing creative person in the world? What would happen?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to define myself by my strengths from now on. And with that, I wrote it down. I am outgoing. I am creative. And I picked up my books, walked out to the car, and I was ready. I was going to do it. I was going to define myself. And then I got to the car, and I couldn't find my keys. Oh, my God. I had left them somewhere in the mall. And, you know, I thought the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. Nobody cares how creative and outgoing you are if you can't even find your keys. Really.
The first, I picture you there doing that. You walk out like all full of vigor, right?
Oh, fired
the first
up.
Thing that happens, oh, I can't find my keys.
Yeah, but it was a test. I think God gave me a test. And I grabbed myself and I said, no, 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 no. This is a problem I have, but it is not who I am. And I am not going to define myself by this. I will go back in and find my keys. I am creative and I am outgoing. So I got myself in and I walked back in and I went up to the service desk and I asked the lady because I couldn't find them.
Christy, if I could you hold that thought for a second?
I absolutely can.
I think I know where you're going with that, and this is a lot of fun, all the listeners out there. So if you don't mind, I'd like to break it up. I'd like to go to a break real quick.
Be perfect.
And then we can come back and you can go into the whole key story because I think everybody will kind of enjoy this. So before I go to break, at least for now for the listeners, can you let them know how they could get in contact with you if they have any questions or want to learn more about your coaching or parenting programs?
Absolutely. They need to just email me at Christy, Christi, at Coach Christy, CoachChristi.com. Or they can go to my website, www.coachchristi.com.
Excellent. So, everyone, we're going to go for a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll learn it. We'll hear about the keys story, all right? Here we go.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dig Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, today, Christy McClanahan is in our studio, and we're talking about Tom Hartman's Hunter versus Farmer ADHD theory. And thus far, we've been talking about the theory, and I really want to kind of highlight it's such a great example of how what is obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to, as we were talking a couple minutes ago, if you pay attention to like the ADHD brain, some of those characteristics as a hunter, it actually starts to make sense how you'd be perfectly casted possibly as a hunter, and why it might be difficult living in a society that farms. It's more about planning, etc. In my work as a coach, using insightful thinking tools or ways of looking at stuff to make have things make some sense or kind of pay attention to is really kind of powerful. So I'd like to highlight that and thank Christy for bringing it up. But now the fun part. Christy, tell your story about the keys.
Okay, I will. And what I was saying, I had just decided that I was going to, from now on, I was not going to pay attention to what was wrong with me, and I lost my keys. And so I marched myself back into the mall, looked around, couldn't find them, so I had to go up to the service desk, which I hate to do. I hate to go up and ask people for my keys. And so I crept up there and I asked that lady. I said, excuse me, has anyone turned in a set of keys? And the lady turned around and looked at me with this look of disgust. And she said, you lost your keys? I don't understand how anyone ever does that. Loses their keys. And I said, yes, ma'am, I lost my keys, and I would appreciate it if you would just check and see if they're back there. And it really upset me because she was defining me. I already could feel it. She had this opinion of me. And so I just straightened up, and I said, just go look for them, please. And she came back, and she said, well. And she slapped her hand down on the counter, and she said, well, they weren't there. What are you going to do now? And I thought, oh, my goodness, this woman is defining me. And I said, look, I've been here all day. It could be anywhere. I'd appreciate if you'd call the store down at the other end. I mean, I thought, you're not going to treat me like this. And so she went and called them, and then she came back, and she said, well, they weren't there. What are you going to do now? And I looked at her, and I said, lady, have you ever written a song? And she said, what? I said, have you ever written a song? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, has anyone ever asked you to come in their house and decorate it for them? She said, well, no. And I said, well, have you ever gotten up in front of 100 people and given a speech without batting an eye? She said, no, I'd hate that. I said, well, it looks like keeping up with your keys is your talent. But I have other talents. And with that, I just turned around and I walked off, and I knew I passed the test. God wanted me to say, I will not be defined by anyone else. I will define myself. And with that, I went straight to the next place. I found my keys. I grabbed them, and I never looked back, Jeff. That year, I did become the best me I could be. I opened up a shop. I started speaking. I wrote over 100 songs. And I got Businesswoman of the Year. A year into my shop, I got Businesswoman of the Year. And people started treating me differently, treating me like I had some sense, like I was talented. You know, and someone came into my shop one day and said, gosh, Christy, this is just the most wonderful shop. I just don't know how you do it. And I thought, well, if you're outgoing and creative, you can do it.
I love that. So I've heard that story before. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is just when you tell it, it's like I could see the swagger that you have as you're walking away from this woman who is so full of herself that it's kind of, I'm not going to say humiliating when it's over with, but just you're like nonsense. Like, can you do this? Can you do this? Well, I guess keys are what you're good at.
That's right. And you know the thing about it, we are put down a lot. We don't, and sometimes we even put ourselves down before somebody else puts us down. Have you ever heard people do that? They'll say things like, oh, you know, I'm just a nitwit. I can't keep up with things. Or they'll say, oh, I just, you know, I can't do it. We're so bad about putting ourselves down. And then we teach people to put us down. Because we are so much about defining, you know, we become about defining ourselves by what we can't do. And I tell you, that's, my house did not fall in, Jeff. My house was more organized that year than ever because when your brain gets to working, you're working on those things that make you so excited about life. Yep. You actually have the energy to do the things that you other things you need to do. You need to be spending time doing those things that get your heart to go. I say get your heart to go pitter pat.
Yep.
And when your heart goes pitter-pat, your brain's going pitter-pat too. And then you're really going to be able to do those things that are hard to do because you've given yourself permission to be who you are. And it just translates into all kinds of energy for other things. So I didn't, my house is organized. I didn't gain 200 pounds like I was afraid I would. I'm telling you, it was great.
Well, you know, this is, your story is so powerful and compelling. There are a couple parts. There's one where you sat down saying, listen, what are my strengths? And you were like, mm-hmm. You hardly even know. Because I think a lot of listeners out there who might identify with this, I mean,
right.
It's A, how do you, it's not, really not about changing. It's really about changing what you're paying attention to as opposed to paying attention to what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And
well,
really,
and let me, this is how I define what is, I had to come up, what is as easy as breathing for me? That's how I figured out which my natural talents were. What is as easy as breathing? And sometimes what the things that you do that other people are hard for them, but they're, it's so easy for you. And we think, well, that's nothing. That's so easy. Well, that's it.
Yep.
That is what your natural talent and strength is what's easy for you. And if we did the things that are easy for us, if we did that more and allowed it to become a strength, because sometimes we don't even give enough attention to what we do naturally, that we don't even get to develop it into a strength. We just, because a gift and a talent is not going to become a strength unless you really exercise it more and pay attention to it more. So I don't think I would have ever become a speaker and have such a great shop and eventually all the things I did if I hadn't allowed myself to just do what was naturally easy for me.
Yep.
So that's part of it.
It's interesting because I'll share this story. Is this radio show got started in a similar way. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on air, but I have dyslexia and I have a learning disability. That's how I got into mm-hmm. coaching. I don't have ADD, which most people would assume that I do, but I can identify with it. It's funny because this radio show actually started because I was trying to do it my way. And uh-huh. One of the ways, you know, you try to get your name out, you do newsletters, there's all this social media and stuff like that. And writing is exceptionally difficult for me. It's very, very challenging. And it's just agonizing. It's kind of hard. And my wife had said, you know, you should do this radio thing. And I started to realize I think a lot out loud, and it's
wow.
natural and easy. And so I started thinking about the radio thing. And when I originally started it, it was hard for me. I was all stressed out about content and all this kind of stuff. And I realized I just kept paying attention to how I naturally do it. And I'm more of a conversation type person. Like, to actually think in advance and plan what I have to say and script it, mm-hmm. that's difficult for me. So this radio show and the format is drive. I'm much more verbal.
Right.
I like to talk. And I always have guests on so I can ask questions and even like right now do a free form give and take conversation because that comes easy for me.
Yeah, and it's easy for you to develop a rapport with other people.
Absolutely. And so,
I mean, that's
really,
a huge thing.
Fundamentally, like you said, hey, listen, I'm kind of creative and I'm outgoing, and you started focusing there. Even the show is an illustration on my side. Hey, there's lots of other things that I could do, but this is what's easy for me, and I try to create the environment where I can just be who I am.
Well, you know, part of what you're saying, I was working with a family one day, and this is just a great example of what you're saying. I had a young boy who the mother and father were having a lot of problems with him, and he was ADD, and she said, well, he likes to talk. And she said, it's really difficult. She said, he gets home, and he starts talking, and I have to listen to him and listen and listen. And when I can't take it anymore, I pass him off to his dad, and he listens and listens and listens until he can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, it sounds to me like he has a natural talent for talking, but he's not learning how to have conversations. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, he needs to talk to you, and you talk to him, and he learned that natural banter back and forth. And so I started coaching him. And our conversations were so amazing, and the parents always watched. That's how I coach. The parents
uh-huh.
watch. And after our first coaching session, when he left, because I always get the children to leave, you know, after about 20 minutes, and then I can debrief with the parents. And I said, what did you notice about the conversation your son and I had? And she said, it was a lot more interesting than the conversations we have. And I said, what was the difference? And she said, well, you were in the conversation. So, see, he had a natural gift for talking,
yep.
but he didn't have he really wasn't getting to develop it because he wasn't in these conversations. And you have developed that. You have developed you have this great ability to talk, but you've developed that skill and recognize it. What if these parents never recognized that talking is a great communication skill, and to develop that so that when he grew up, he thought, man, I am a great communicator.
Absolutely.
So it's what are they, it's first it might be what the parents paid attention to all their lives. So sometimes people don't know what they don't understand what they're good at because it wasn't valued. It wasn't pointed out. And so they grow up and they don't even know that this kid wouldn't know that, hey, talking could be a valuable tool.
You're 100% right. And it's interesting because I like this for the listeners out there because we're talking about how this stuff kind of manifests itself.
Right.
And just in conversation can actually be a positive. And I say this because I was working with this woman one time who had ADD, and she's very creative, and she was in real estate business, and she would talk about, or we'd have these conversations, like she'd go out and she's like, I feel like I should be closing them. I should get them to buy the home. It was interesting because as we started to learn that she was very talkative, very creative, when she would walk into a house, she would say, hey, I do this, or we could do this and that. And in the process, one of her clients, while I was coaching, kind of walked up and she said, you know something, I never thought about the house with that wall, but that would be really good. I think I'd like to do it. And she realized that she talks out loud with all these kinds of ideas, and many people just aren't very creative. And she started to realize that her talk was an asset because she would say things that would spark an idea, and all of a sudden they would see something in the house that they didn't see before because they weren't naturally creative. And she was just babbling.
Right.
But she started to recognize her babbling, because she was very creative in what could be done, was actually a huge asset for what she was doing.
Yes, and once you recognize what the asset is, you can tool that asset, or you can work on it. But when you're just not, when you don't realize it's an asset, you're just, you're not developing it. And I think that's the biggest thing. I gave myself permission to develop my skills.
Uh-huh.
I gave myself permission. And that is something that a lot of people never, that first of all, they don't recognize it. So the first thing is you've got to recognize what are your natural talents.
Yep.
And if you don't know it, sometimes you got to go back and ask people that you love and you know love you, because a lot of times they do know what your natural talents are.
Uh-huh.
Second, you've got to give yourself permission to develop it and to see how you could use it.
Yep.
And those two steps are the first two steps to becoming the best you can be, is to recognize and then develop it.
Absolutely.
And pay attention to it, like you're saying. Pay attention to what you do well.
And help me if I'm inaccurate here, Christy, but like you're very creative and you're actually a songwriter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And from what I understand, you've actually used those skills and actually written and published some songs related to ADD, and you actually use them in your
Well, I've got just one little verse that I'd like to sing you right now that
sure.
will show this. And it says this: if I see me as a problem, then a problem I will be. If I only see my problems, then problems will probably follow me. I need to see my brilliance, the gifts that life has given me. By developing my talents, I'll become all I can be. But if I see me as a problem, then a problem I will be. If all I see are problems, then problems will probably always follow me.
Yay! Very
I mean, that really is the crux of it. If you see yourself as a problem and you focus on those problems, then problems are going to follow you. But if you see yourself as having natural talents and gifts and you give yourself permission to develop them, then you'll become all that life meant for you to be.
Wow, this has been a great show, Christy. I can't tell you how much I knew this was going to be a good show before I had you on, but this has been great. I can't tell you how much I thank you for coming on today.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it so much. I love helping people to discover who they really are.
Absolutely. So with it, we have about a little less than a minute to go. The time we've got left, can you again let the listeners know how they can get in contact with you?
Well, what my specialty is, Jeff, is I do coach parents about their children. I help them to find these gifts. And they need to go to www.coachchristi.com, and they can contact me there.
That is awesome. Well, Christy, I'd like to thank you again for coming on the show. I don't know, we're going to have to find a couple more topics to have you on because It's been a pleasure, and I know
thank
it's been
you.
A good show, and I know the listeners will enjoy it. So
okay.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
On.
Y'all have a great day.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.